536 is the invitation song for this evening. Where the soul never dies. It's a time that I always mention. It's a time that God has granted unto us. If we need to make anything right, we have that time and that opportunity. I'd like to also say I've enjoyed being here this weekend. I want to thank you for the invitation to come and to speak to you. It's my first meeting to speak. And it made me do a lot of studying, preparing for this meeting, but I've enjoyed it, and I've enjoyed being with everyone, and I hope the things that we have said, it's something to encourage you to live the Christian life. Because God loves us all. And He paid an awful price of giving His Son that we could be here today and to worship Him and honor Him. And tonight is we open the pages of His Word to read and study. It's to grow in our grace and knowledge of Him. And when we assemble, we just assemble to honor Him in our lives. And that's something that we need to do is honor our Heavenly Father. Tonight, the title of my lesson is Dead Man Walking. I'll be using some of the same scripture that I used Saturday night, but looking at it a little bit different. But dead man walking is going to be our thought for tonight. In Genesis 1, we read about God creating man in His own image. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed in his nostril the breath of life. And man became a living soul. And in the 17th verse of the 2nd chapter, it said, when God put man in the Garden of Eden, He told him, He said, he could not partake of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. He said, thou shalt not eat of it, for on the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. We know this, we remember this, that Adam sinned in the beginning, and he brought death to each one of us, to all mankind. But not only did he bring physical death upon us, but he brought spiritual death. And so, as we look at this spiritual death, as we look at the scriptures, we're going to find that, if we're spiritually dead before God, that we're a dead man walking. And so that's where we're going to get our thoughts from, is the fact that that when we are not right with God, that we're a dead man walking. In Romans 8 chapter, we read, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. This carnally minded is death. Here he's talking about spiritual death. And so to be carnally minded, we're spiritually dead. And when we're spiritually dead before our Father, then we're going through this life as a dead man. Even though we're living in the flesh, but we're a dead man walking spiritually before God. But he tells us, if we're spiritually minded, we have life and peace. We're alive before our Heavenly Father. We're spiritually alive. And we have the hope of heaven before us. But if we're a dead man walking, we understand that God is not well pleased with us. And we know where the end's going to be. That we're going to be cast in outer darkness where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. In the 8th chapter of Romans in verse 13, he said, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. If you live after the flesh, you shall die. And so, see, there again is another scripture that's telling us, if we're living after the flesh, that we are a dead man walking. And we have to realize that. In Matthew 16 and 26, for what is a man profit to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? We live for the world. He said we're going to lose our soul. So the time that we've lived here, we've been a dead man walking. In Luke 12 and 16, we read that this morning. And in the this 12th chapter, as we read it, it was about the rich man. It says, and the ground of a certain rich man brought plentiful. He thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room for it to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns. I will build greater. and there will bestow all my fruits and my goods. I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much good laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? Now we can see that in this parable of the rich man about building barns. Everything he was doing, no, he thought he was alive. He was enjoying life, and he never realized that while he was enjoying his life in the flesh, as we read here, he was a dead man walking. Enjoying life, but he was a dead man walking. And then we find that God said, who's those things going to be that you work for? Tonight, your soul's going to be required of that. You know, we don't know if tonight our soul's going to be required of it. We don't know if we're going to even walk out this door. In Walnut Park, several years ago, there was a Brother Miller up a speaking. He fell over dead behind the pulpit. You never know when you're going to die. And so we need to be aware of our condition before our Heavenly Father. Are we spiritually alive, or are we a dead man walking? That we neglect God and what God would have us to do. You know, in Luke, the 16th chapter, beginning with verse 19, Jesus said there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen. He fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. He said, moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried to the angels unto Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. And seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his tongue in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Now here, when we read about the rich man Lazarus, and the rich man, he fared something every day. He was enjoying life, but he did not know that he was a dead man walking. That when his life was going to be called and questioned before God, that he was going to go to hell. He said he lifted his eyes up in hell, being in torment. And so we need to make sure that we're not like this man, that we're going through this life, enjoying life, enjoying all the things God has blessed us with. Because every good and perfect gift comes from God. And yet this man, he died, lifted his eyes in torment, never knew that he was a dead man walking. In Matthew, the 24th chapter, in verse 37, he said, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For in the days that were before the flood, they were eating, they were drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew not till the flood came and took them all away. He said, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. No, in verse 38, it speaks about the days of Noah, eating, drinking, and marriage. And they knew not when the flood came. All those people were dead men walking. The whole world, but eight people were dead men walking. They were spiritually dead before God. And it says they knew not when the flood came. See, if it had been spiritual, they would have been listened to Noah, a preacher of righteousness. And it took Noah about 120 years to build the ark. So for 120 years, Noah preached to them about the coming judgment. None of them repented. They were too busy, married, giving in marriage, and enjoying the blessings of this life. And all that time, there was a dead man walking, and they never realized it. And we need to realize our relationship with our Heavenly Father and make sure that we're not a dead man walking. In Matthew chapter 8 and verse 22, but Jesus said unto him, follow me and let the dead bury their dead. You know, here's a man that wanted to follow Jesus, but he asked Jesus, he said, let me go bury my father. And Jesus told him, let the dead bury their dead. What does he talk about? Let those that are spiritually dead bury the one that physically had died. spiritually dead. And so what those people were, they were dead men walking. That's what he has reference to about letting the dead bury the dead. They were dead men walking because they're without God, without hope in this world. And we need to realize as we go through this life that we can be a dead man walking because we're without God. And we need to let it touch our minds, the condition that we are in. In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 6, Paul says, "But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth." And so here, Paul mentions about a woman who lost her husband and about the cares of the church. But this particular woman he speaks about, he said, "Those that live in pleasure is dead while she liveth." And so what he had reference to is a woman living in sin. And so he says she's dead while she's living. She was a dead woman walking because she was living in sin, living in pleasure, and she wasn't doing the things that she ought to be doing that God would have her to do. And so she was a dead woman walking. And that's what he had referenced here too, that while she liveth in pleasure, she's dead. And in Ephesians 5 and 14, he says, "Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee life." Arise from the dead. He's talking about spiritual death. And so he said, arise from sleep. Wake up. Pay attention to your life that you're living on this earth. And are you giving praise and honor to God in your life? Are you an example to those around you? And if you're not, here he says that you're dead. Rise from the dead. Let's rise from the dead. Let's start doing what God would have us to do. Let's love one another. Let's care for one another. Let's try to live in such a way that we can influence one another to worship God and honor God. We're dead man walking if we're not doing what God would have us to do. In Ephesians chapter 2, when Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, beginning with verse 1, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin." So here, in this very first verse, he talks about you've been made alive. The reason you're made alive because you obey the gospel. He said, at one time, you were dead in trespasses and sin. You were spiritually dead. You were a dead man walking. But since you obey the gospel, he said, you've been quickened, made alive. He said, "For in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." And so, this second verse, he's just telling, that we used to be a dead man. We were walking, but now we've been made alive. And at one time, we was disobedient children. But now we've been quickened and made alive. He said, "Among whom also we all had our conversations in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." And so, Paul's letting the church know, they've been saved. They used to walk according to the world. They were dead men walking. But he says now, you've been made alive. "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, and by grace are you saved." So he said, while we were in sin, while we were dead men walking, God made it possible for us through his grace to be saved, to be changed, to be made alive. He said at one time, he said we were sinners, we were dead. Even when we were dead in sin, he quickened us together. He's made us alive. And God sent his son to die for us. The Bible says while we were sinners. While we were sinners, he died for us. And in Galatians, the sixth chapter, and in verse 7, Paul says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, but whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For if he that soweth to his flesh, shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit, shall the Spirit reap life everlasting." He said, don't deceive yourself. If you're not right with God, you're a dead man walking. Don't deceive yourself. You know whether or not you're a sinner. You know whether or not you're walking with God. He said, don't deceive yourself. He said, you're going to reap what you're sowed. If we're without Christ, we're not going to heaven. If we're without Christ, we're not going. And he said, if you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. But he said, if you sow to the Spirit, you have life everlasting. So he warns us to not deceive ourselves. 2 Corinthians 5:17. He said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Any man that be in Christ, he said, we become new. When we're buried in that water grave of baptism, we're raised up. Out of that water grave, our sins have been washed away. He says, we're a new creature. Been created new. I went down a sinner, lost, going to hell. I come up out of that water, saved. A new creature. Been forgiven by the blood of Jesus. I was a dead man walking, going down. I come up, quickened in the Spirit, made alive, a new creature. In Romans chapter 21, we find the John, when he writes the book of Romans, he speaks about death. In the 8th verse of the 21st chapter, he said, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and the unbelieving, the abominable and the murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now we realize that we're going to die physically. Now here he speaks about having a second death. And in the 14th verse of the 20th chapter, he said, death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death, referring to the judgment. And we go to the 6th verse of that chapter. He said, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such, the second death has no power. So we read about hell, the judgment, and being cast in, into the hell of fire. Is going to be cast, he says, into the second lake of fire, and he called it the second death. And so we realize that the judgment that man's going to face is referred to as the second death. And that second death is, we've been separated from God forever. We're being punished for not acknowledging God, not accepting His Son. And to think that God gave His Son to die for me, I didn't do nothing with His Son. I didn't accept His offering that He made. And He tells me, I've died for you, where you can be buried and have your sins forgiven. I've rejected that. And He said, because of that, you're going to face the second death. You're going to be separated from God forever. You're going to face the wrath of God forever. And He called it the second death. But yet He tells us, if we took part in the first resurrection, we shall not face the second death. It has no power on it. The second death can't touch us, get a hold of us, if we face the first resurrection. And what is that first resurrection? Can you see the picture when the Bible talks about it in Romans, the 6th chapter, that we're buried in like His death, we're raised in like His resurrection? Christ was raised by the power of God when He was crucified, and He said, we're raised from that watery grave, a new creature. That's that first resurrection. And when we obey the gospel and we're baptized, He said, we're not going to face that second death. And we need to realize that we're not going to face that second death. But throughout the Bible, He talks about the spirit and the carnal mind and its enemy against God. And so if we live in the flesh, we're dead spiritually, we're a dead man walking, and we're not going to heaven. And God is no respecter of person. You know, when we look to the days of Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah, Abraham pleaded for Sodom and Gomorrah. He went on all the way down to, if there were just 10 righteous, he said, God, will you not destroy it? God said, I won't destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. They were all dead men walking. They was not 10 men righteous in Sodom and Gomorrah. And not besides Sodom and Gomorrah, it says all the plains around Sodom and Gomorrah. They wasn't even 10 men walking. Wasn't 10 men. And then we find out that the angel takes Lot, his two daughters, and his wife, and deliver them out of Sodom and Gomorrah and out of the danger. Delivered them out of the danger. There was the only one that was found righteous. But we find that the angel said not, told him not to look back. And we find that Lot's wife looked back. God told her not to look back. She looked back. She was delivered out of the destruction. But she looked back, and the Bible records, and Jesus says, remember Lot's wife. Here she was in a safe place, a safe condition, and yet she disobeyed God's angels. She looked back. She was turned into a pillar of salt. God is no respecter of person. He expects us to do what He tells us to do. He expects us to do what He tells us to do. And God is not a respecter of person. He said, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwells within you. Romans 8:11. It's the only time in history that God has ever promised man that His Spirit would dwell within us. We're dead man walking, then when we obey the gospel and we're buried in that water grave of baptism, we find that we're born again in the water and the Spirit, and that's what takes place when we're buried in that water grave. In Acts 2:38, it tells us when we repent of our sins and we're baptized, our sins are washed away. And He said, and we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's what He had referenced here. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, when we obey God and we obey the gospel and we let that Spirit dwell within us, we're not a dead man walking anymore. And He said, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies. He'll make you alive by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. And He said, therefore, because of this, brethren, He said, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. Because He said, if you live after the flesh, you shall die, but if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. And for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption whereby you cry, Abba, Father. When we obey the gospel, we've been adopted. We're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We're a dead man walking. We obey the gospel. We're joint heirs with His Son. Joint heirs with Jesus Christ. He's our elder brother. Our elder brother watching over us. He's sitting on the right hand of God making intercession for me and you today if we're a child of God. And if we're not a child of God, we're dead man walking. He's not making intercession for you. You're on your own. You're a dead man walking on your own. But yet, if you obey the gospel and you've been joined heirs with Jesus Christ, Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. He said, I've gone through the things that you've gone through in this life. He said, I'm there to make intercession for you and plead your case before the Father. Plead our case before the Father. We're joined heirs with Him. And He said, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit. You know, I know whether or not I'm a sinner, I'm a dead man walking, or if I'm righteous with God. My spirit knows that. My spirit is who I am. I know whether or not I'm right with God or not. Because I know what the Bible tells me to do. I know whether or not I've done it or not. And when I fall short, I pray to God to forgive me. He forgave me. Why He forgave me? Because He let His Son die for me. He don't want me to go to hell. He wants to save me. And He knows we're going to make mistakes. He knows we're going to fall short. So He gives us that privilege of prayer to go to Him. You know, there's a difference between a sinner and a Christian that sins. A person that's a sinner, he don't care if he sins. Because he's without God. He's not worried about God. He don't care about God. He, most cases, he don't even believe in God. So he sins and he don't think a thing about his sins. But yet a Christian that sins, a Christian realizes, I'm weak in the flesh. Jesus says, the Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And so a Christian that sins, he realizes, hey, I've sinned, I slipped, I made a mistake. And when he does that, what does he do? He humbles himself down to God and asks God to forgive him. I'm sorry I made that mistake. I'm sorry I sinned and fell short. And he restores back in his sight. Why? His son died for him. That's the reason. But yet a sinner, he's a dead man walking. He don't care about God. And we need to realize what God has done for us and given his son for us. And that we have that spirit within us. And when we're faced with the problems that we're faced with, as it was prayed tonight, those problems we're faced with that God allows to come our way, that's to strengthen us, it's to help us depend on him and turn to him for help. There's nothing happens in your life that God don't know about. Jesus says a bird can't fall to the ground without God knowing it. Why does he want us to know about that? That a bird can't fall to the ground without God knowing it. He goes on and said, your very hairs on your head is numbered. Why is he telling you that? He's telling you, God is watching over you. He knows everything that happens to you. And one of the things that during Christ's ministry, we see that Satan took possession of people without their consent. You know, that's the only time in history that I read in the Bible that ever took place, was when Christ and the apostles walked on this earth. And we find that those that the devil took control of without their consent, we find God's Son was there to deliver them from Satan. The apostles were there to deliver them from Satan. And there's nothing that Satan can do to us today without God's consent. We find that the Bible tells us that when we're tempted with sin, that God is there when we're tempted with sin. And he said he won't let anything come on upon us that we cannot bear. And when temptation comes your way, he tells us, I'll provide a way of escape. I'll provide a way of escape. I'll keep you from becoming a dead man walking. If you love me, your desire to serve me, whatever comes your way, I know it, I see it. Nothing happens to you without me knowing it. And he said, I'll provide a way of escape. In Zechariah, the 13th chapter, in verse 1 and 2, we find that he speaks about the days of... he says, and the day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. This is talking about the coming of Jesus Christ. And it shall come to pass in the day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land, and they shall no more be remembered. I will cause the prophets and the unclean spirit to pass out of the land. What does it mean? He's going to call the prophets and the unclean spirits to pass out of the land. When I read that, what I think about is the time that Satan was taking control of people without their consent. And when the apostles died out, and when Jesus died, he tells us that those that laid hands on were given gifts. When they died out, those gifts were taken away. When he called the prophets, he said he also called the unclean spirits to pass out of the land. This is telling me that when God took the miraculous gifts away, he took powers away from Satan, where Satan can't take control of you today without your consent. When he took the miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit away, he took gifts and the powers away from Satan, where Satan can't touch you without your consent. He allows Satan to come on you and to tempt you, but that's all he can do is tempt you. But he can't force you to sin. During the apostles' day, we read about it. During Christ's day, about unclean spirits possessing even the young. He can't do that today. Because when God took the Holy Spirit away, the miraculous gift, he had to limit the power of Satan, because if he didn't, we could not save anyone that had been controlled by Satan. But during the days of the apostles, they were released from Satan. And so he tells us that that was going to come about when the prophets and the Holy Spirit was taken out of the land. And so we have no excuse today why we sin. When we sin, it's our desires. It's our desires. When we're tempted and we fall in that temptation, because that's what we're lusting after. And when we lust after it, we're going to be a dead man walking. Without God, without hope in the world. But God loves us so much, and He gave His Son to die for us, and He's given us the Scripture to read and study, to know how to be a joint heir with His Son and go to heaven and be with Him. And He wants you in heaven. He said He wants all men to be saved and to come and acknowledge the truth in Timothy. God wants you saved. He wants you to go to heaven. He don't want you to die. You know, He told the children of Israel, why will you die, O house of Israel? Tell them to repent. Why will you die? Why will you choose death? You know tonight if you're a sinner or not. You know whether you're a sinner or not. And if you're a sinner, you've fallen away, if you never obey the gospel, you're going to face that second death, and you're going through life just as the days of Noah, just as those people were doing during the days of Sodom and Gomorrah when they were destroyed. They were dead men walking. That's what we are. If we're without God tonight, we're a dead man. But God doesn't want you to be a dead man. He wants you to be a spiritual alive in Him, in His Son, and have that hope of heaven. He says, I love you. If you love me, keep my commandments. Keep my commandments. At this time, we offer an invitation song to you. And if you're a dead man walking, repent of your sins and come to God. He loved you. And that's a terrible price to pay, was His Son dying on Calvary's cross. But He done it because He loved you. And through His Son, we can be made spiritually alive, quickened in the Spirit with the hope of heaven. And if we fell away, we can come and confess our fault one to another and pray one for another to be forgiven. He don't want any to perish, but all to come to repentance. So at this time, the opportunity is yours while we stand and while we sing the song that's been selected.